This podcast is from Allegro Non Troppo on Joy Melbourne 94.9 radio station, Melbourne, Australia, and is produced for you by Adam, Peter and Robert.
You're listening to Allegro Non Troppo on your community radio station with Gabby and Sue. We are very, very excited to have a very special guest in the studio with us today. We will be talking HIV positive women, a subject that we don't hear about enough.
Within Australia, HIV positive women have been described as a minority within a minority. In 2006, there were approximately 1,500 Australian women living with HIV. In 2007, there was a 25% increase in reported cases within Australia.
HIV-positive women are from all walks of life with many different experiences. For women living with HIV, it can be difficult managing the pressures of everyday life, work and caring for a family.
Today, with the medical advancement, HIV-positive women have a long life to look forward to, as was not so in the early 80s when we had little or no understanding of HIV or AIDS.
Social awareness of HIV and AIDS has improved since the 80s, but there continues to be a social stigma attached to people living with HIV or AIDS.
HIV-positive women, activists, advocates, educators, carers and supporters have played and continue to play vital roles in destigmatising HIV, educating with facts and supporting women.
Today we're talking to Anne Phelan, who may be best known for her role as Myra Desmond in the long-running show Prisoner.
Anne has a long list of stage and screen credits, including being the winner of 8 Best Actress Awards and the 2002 Activist of the Year Award, as well as the prestigious Order of Australia.
Anne has worked tirelessly to raise funds and awareness of HIV and AIDS. She has been the patron of Positive Women, which is a support and advocacy group for women living with HIV. Welcome, Anne.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm in the middle of these two ladies. I'm having fun.
I was just saying to Anne off air that I was so excited that she was coming in. It is a very deep subject, but it's so nice sitting next to you. I'm very starstruck.
I think you're very silly and it's lovely. Thank you.
Now, Anne, we do appreciate you coming in.
And my pleasure.
HIV is a big subject, but we want to kind of get to know you a bit more, other than the fact that you are wearing a particular scarf.
I am wearing, for our listeners out there, the Collingwood Football Club scarf. So there you go. That was a very pleasant surprise. I was actually at a friend's for dinner and we didn't have it on because, you know, you don't at dinner parties. But I really didn't think we'd win, but we did. We scraped in.
Anne, tell us about you growing up. You're a Melbourne girl.
I am born in Fitzroy. Mm-hmm. And this is long before, of course, Fitzroy was the upmarket suburb it is now. We're talking about, 1948 I was born. So Fitzroy was the slums then, but full of just characters. You know, my childhood was surrounded by these extraordinary Fitzroy characters and also the Collingwood Football Club. Our family was divided. Mum and one brother. I have two brothers. Mum and one brother were Fitzroy, and Dad and Barry and myself were Collingwood. So I would toddle off to the football every Saturday with Dad. Dad was on the door at Collingwood for close on 40 years, to the players' dressing room there. So he was an honorary official. And he was a huge man. He was 6'4 and 22 stone. And he was known as Big Jim, the bastard who wouldn't let a draft in. And Big Jim Phelan was very well known for years. So, of course, I was born with black and white blood in me with Dad around. And then, but lived in Fitzroy. We then moved to West Melbourne. And it really was because of that move that I became an actress, because I played a lot of sport. When I was young and also well into my teenage years, and I was the captain of the local badminton team. Ooh. In West Melbourne, and we used to play in the church hall, and I had a phone call one night from a total stranger at Mama's living at home. I was 15, 16 at the time, and it was the local amateur musical company, the Samaritan Light Opera Company. And they used to rehearse in the same hall that we played in, and they wanted an extra night's rehearsal. And so the parish priest had said, look, it's fine with me, but you better check that they're not playing badminton that night. And here's the number, and ring Anne. that was all fine. I said, no, we're not using the hall. I'm about to hang up, and he said, Phelan, he said, are you any relation to Barry and Peter? And I said, yes, they're my older brothers. And he said, I went to school with your brothers. He said, if you're a Phelan, you can sing. And he said, we need chorus members. And I really didn't know what he meant. I mean, we weren't a theatrical family at all. We were very musical. And Mum and Dad would go to the TIV, and we occasionally went to the movies. And but I really didn't know what a chorus member was. And it turned out that one of the girls in the group I went to school with, I'd left school at 15. I hated school. I'd been to school with, and he said, why don't you come up with her? And I joined the back row of the chorus of Kismet.
The back row, see?
Back row of the chorus of Kismet, which of course means fate. And then the same thing happened about 5 years later. I then sort of did a lot of amateur theatre work, mainly musicals. And then someone rang and said, do you want to do a play and get paid for it? And I thought,
yes, please.
What a great idea. So that's sort of how it happened, yeah. But I now live in the country. I live in Romsey. Mum and Dad were both from the country, and it's funny how most of us have all drifted back. I've got great nieces and nephews, and there's only one niece still lives in Melbourne. All the others have moved back to the country. Their kids have been born and bred in the country. And I've got that lovely mixture of, you know, Romsey's only an hour from Melbourne, but it's a small country town.
Oh, Romsey's beautiful.
Now, Annie, you're mostly known for your character in Prisoner. What's it like playing such a well-loved and well-known character?
It's quite weird. I mean, I don't want to put Prisoner down by saying this, don't get me wrong, but for most of us, Prisoner was just another job, one that we loved. But when you're making it and... especially those early days where I did actually have a couple of small guest roles very early on, no one had any idea of the impact of that show. I mean, originally it was I think, a 13-week season.
Wow,
that
I
was
didn't
it.
Know that.
And that's what everyone in the business thought it would be, you know. Oh, that's good, they're doing a show about women's prisons for 13 weeks. So to get a role in it was terrific, but no one had the slightest idea. And, I mean, I've spoken about this to people like Val Lehman and Amanda Muggleton and people who were in those early eps who were quite taken aback. It wasn't till it went to air and then it just took off. And then, of course, the whole overseas thing. I mean, the fan club in England I'm still in contact with. Glenda Lynn Scott, you get the fan club... they're gorgeous, they're mad, and I love them because they have, just speaking about positive women, we've actually got a wonderful relationship between the Prisoner fan club in England and positive women. And if anyone gets a hold of any memorabilia from the show, I get it across to them and they auction it to the fans, and they send the money straight to Pos Women. And early this year, in fact, we had Val Lehman organised it. It was the 30th anniversary of Prisoner going to air. And they came from literally all around the world. And this happened, we did the 21st too. And that's how I got associated with Positive Women, was through that original Prisoner reunion. But this year, I think it was limited to 200 people.
I just want to say I'm a bit miffed about that because I couldn't get a ticket.
Couldn't get a ticket,
no.
Right. You were amongst
many who
couldn't get tickets. Mm. But out of that, you know, $10,000.
Fantastic.
Was raised from actors selling their autographs for a dollar, and everything they signed was a dollar. If they wanted a photo taken with you, you charged them a dollar. And it was all going to go to Positive Women. But, of course, then the dreadful bushfires happened and Reg Evans, one of our beloved actors here in Melbourne, he lost his life with Angela, his partner, in the fires. And he, of course, was in Prisoner at one point. So 25% went to the bushfire appeal and 75% of it went to Positive Women. And then the following night, Maggie Kirkpatrick sort of hosted a small function because she couldn't be at the Sunday one because she was doing Wicked. and $5,000, you know, raised.
And that money goes to great causes.
It goes straight to, oh yes, and this goes straight, the money from the Prisoner Fan Club goes straight to Positive Women. And it can be something like into their fund where they are training, women can take up traineeship, apprenticeship type things, learning skills. It can be something as simple as a food voucher. And in this day and age, here we are in this country and we are talking food vouchers, but sometimes that's what's needed. But the opportunities that the fan club have given POS Women is terrific. And it's great because what it also does for the actors, instead of being this sort of, I don't know, empty... I don't understand fans. I mean, I don't understand that sort of fanaticism at all. And I think it's great, but I don't understand it. I don't get it. And it gives it a bit of substance. And a lot of the actors who went to that reunion early this year went knowing that that was the only reason they went. They didn't go because they wanted to be cheered and things because of Prisoner. A lot of them went because it was a way of raising money for Positive Women. So it's a great two-way street.
There's nothing like knowing that you're doing something for a good cause. There's nothing that feeling. It doesn't matter how much adoration you get for somebody saying, oh, you're really great at singing, but if you're saying, here, I'm helping whatever and helping someone help themselves, there's nothing better.
That's right. And the fans, I think it gives the fans a little bit of substance as well. They love the fact that dollar they're paying for an autograph is going to somewhere special.
Annie, you mentioned that you became involved with Positive Women Victoria through a prisoner reunion.
Yeah, what it was Oz Showbiz Cares, Equity Fights AIDS, which is the group that put on last week's Hats Off concert. And that's a yearly event. And they had been established in Sydney and we wanted a big event to get going in Melbourne. And almost half jokingly, we came up with I think it was started out as a pub trivia night for Prisoner, a prisoner trivia night. Those of us sitting around the committee table. And that grew into, I think it was Genevieve Pico came to the next meeting and said, do you realise next February, this is 1999 by the way, that next February Prisoner turns 21. It's 21 years since it first went to air. And of course we thought, wow, that's it, 21st birthday. And so we called it Prisoner Unlocks the Gates for AIDS. And it was on at the Forum Theatre. And we raised something like $45,000. And they again literally came from around the world. They were from England, naturally England, Ireland, Scotland, Wales. But Sweden's huge. Denmark, it's huge. We had some Yanks there from all states in America, same as we did this year. And because it was predominantly a female show, the committee decided that we should look for somewhere that supports women with HIV. And that's how it came about. We discovered Positive Women. We all fell in love with the name.
It is great.
I mean, it's a great name.
It is.
And the other one I love is Straight Arrows, of course. I think that's a fantastic name too.
Yeah, that's a good
too.
One.
And so some of the money from that prisoner reunion went to Positive Women, and during the advertising of it, the promotion of it, I of course got to meet some of the women and at the time the director, Stephanie Moore. And by the time the concert went on, or the night went on, and a bit after that, that's when they said, will you be our patron? And that was at the end of 2000, I think.
Yeah. And I remember reading your words. It was yes.
Yes, 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 yes. Yes. In fact, I think I wrote it 52 times or something on a card because I'm shocking at official paperwork. I have this mental block about filling out forms. And Stephanie kept saying to me, oh, you must, please, you've got. So I bought a card and I just wrote yes, 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 thousands of times all over this card.
Now, looking at that, what does a patron of Positive Women Victoria, what does that mean?
I quite honestly didn't know at the time. I mean, a lot of patrons are I'm starting to discover are really in name only. An organisation will have, you know, a patron, you know, or like with Oz Showbiz Cares, we've got a stack of patrons, but they're all very hands-on. It's not my idea of being a patron. For me, what I can bring to it is because I work in an industry that involves the media, and because, you know, like yourself, you immediately started talking about Prisoner. I can break down barriers that way. So what I can do is maybe open door, like I'm sitting here today, you know, talking about positive women, using my skills as a performer and my contacts with journalists or radio stations or whatever to get the word out, basically. But also to what we've done over the years with POS Women, which has worked beautifully, and if there's any listeners out there who went to the Hats Off concert last week, I told one of the women's stories, and excuse me, I have to cough.
I'll let you do it. Just you, though.
Sunday morning, far too many cigarettes and too much whiskey last night. What happened was Stephanie Moore, who was the then director, one of our women had a journalistic piece in The New Idea, and it was a pseudonym, and her photo was, what's that word, pixelated? Mm-hmm. Yes. And it was called Joy's Story. And Stephanie said, do you know of a playwright who could transpose this to a monologue for an actress to perform as a way of getting the stories out in it for preventative reasons, you know, to get the message out there? And I did. Straight away I thought of a wonderful Melbourne-based playwright called Graham Pitts, who has since become a great friend of Positive Women. That particular story we then did on the steps of Parliament House here for World AIDS Day. And Janet Andrew Arthur actually read the story, and that's where I was drinking too much last night, at her house, in fact. And so that proved so powerful because all of a sudden it wasn't a speech about facts and figures, and it was someone's real story, and that verbatim theatre I love anyway. So a few other women sort of put their hands up and said to Graham, I want to tell my story. So the following year we had about 6 stories to tell for World AIDS Day, and I got together 4 very good actresses, including Deborah Byrne and Jacinta Stapleton and Janet Andrew Arthur. And we did them in the park at St Kilda. We did about 6 stories, the 4 of us. That led to more women saying, I want to tell my story, and sometimes family members. One of the stories includes a sister. One of our other story includes a male partner who is negative and who met Deanna after she was positive, diagnosed. So it's his lovely story of him telling his mum and dad about. So the reality, and that works beautifully. It got to a point where in, I think, 2004, we did a play called In the Family, which Graham put together, but from the women's stories. So it's a fantastic way of getting the message out there. And in fact, someone here in the studio just commented then that The story I did on Sunday night at Hats Off was all the better because it is a real person's story.
And I think as women, that's what we are good at. We are great at sharing and networking and knowing that there is support out there and a platform to have our voices heard. We are going to continue this amazing talk with Anne Phelan, and we're going to look further into HIV and AIDS in relation to the women in our community. You're listening to Allegro Non Troppo on your community radio station. We're going to talk a bit more about positive women. Let's define the difference between HIV and AIDS. And I know that in my reading, I was confused. I don't know, was it together, HIV, and everyone puts a slash there, so it's HIV/AIDS, but it's not the case.
No, I'm no expert with the terminology, but what has changed over the years is that, I mean, in the 80s, HIV was pretty much you were going to get AIDS and you were going to die. Now people are living with HIV for many years and not actually developing AIDS until much, much later in after diagnosis. So you now have the issue for women of, for instance, HIV and menopause, which is something that 20 years ago no one would ever have thought that anyone would live long enough. Or you know, at that time too, there was always the response that it must be, you know, drug addicts or prostitutes or whatever, where in actual fact it's most women around the world get it from a long-term partner. And so older women are contracting the virus now, and unfortunately much younger women as well. So I do know that a lot of people prefer the term living with HIV and getting rid of the whole / AIDS as well. I think when you're talking around the world, it's different. Developing countries, those that don't have access to testing, that don't have access to the drugs that our developed countries have access to, I think it's probably very different. A lot go very quickly to AIDS.
Now, Annie, Australia's early response to HIV and AIDS is widely recognised as being one of the best in the world. Now, when Positive Women Victoria began in 1988, started by Bev Green, she was one of the first women to be told she was living with HIV in those times. And I believe she had a lot of trouble finding other women living with HIV. And it's really hard when you're suffering from something, you need social support. And especially with an illness, you need to be able to talk to people going through the same thing. So can you tell us a bit about the history of that and how she found other women and started Positive
Well,
women?
She put the word out there, and she used to turn up to, I think she got a room at Fairfield, because then in those days, of course, Fairfield Hospital was the base for all treatment. And she was there for quite some time and would be the only one.
It was about 6 months, wasn't it? Nobody came.
What a horrible time.
She persevered. And then a second woman, I rang her or whatever. She put the word out through the hospital. And that's how Positive Women started. But it was through Bev's perseverance and then Deb of just hanging in there. There is, and still is, I mean, male and female, still a great deal of stigma attached. But I think it's different for women. Women are often the carers in the family. You're often also dealing with children. And in those days, children were being born HIV positive and dying quite young. That, of course, is not so much the case now. In fact, a lot of our members in the past few years, we've had lots of babies. It's been absolutely magical. Some women have started relationships that have continued on, and babies have come out of that. And the as long as you know you follow all the rules and cesarean, and I mean, if I'm wrong here, people can correct me. But the last time I spoke to one of our women who had given birth, and it was cesarean, no breastfeeding, and they have beautiful, healthy, negative babies.
Times have changed.
And once upon a time also, a woman probably wouldn't allow herself to fall pregnant because she would be dying soon.
Well, we have come a long way.
That's not happening now. You know, women are now living, everyone is now living a lot longer. But other issues are coming on board, like dementia, menopause for women, old age. You know, they are now things on top of the virus as well. So it's a whole different, totally different. And as I said before, the term living with HIV, I gather, is much preferred than...
I think so.
Yeah.
But we are lucky in Australia that we have support networks and establishments like Positive Women. we're looking at other countries like Fiji or Papua New Guinea. Mm. Now, I know you've done some fundraising for that.
Yeah, with Oz Showbiz Cares, Equity Fights AIDS, last year's money from the Hats Off concert, which, by the way, people out there listening, hop on to the I think if you Google Hats Off, you'll find it, or search engine. I really don't know what I'm talking about.
You're doing well.
I have friends laughing now, going, she hasn't a clue. But you'll find Hats Off, and it's a yearly event around about this time of the year each year at the Palais Theatre, and everyone donates their time. Great lineup of performers. But last year the money went to Sister Rose in Papua New Guinea. And if anyone's been following these wonderful articles in The Age on Papua New Guinea, Sister Rose featured in last Wednesday's Age. So I would advise, if you haven't got it, to hop online maybe and go back to last Wednesday's Age. That's Wednesday the 9th of September.
There you go. And you can't miss it. It's a full page.
It's a full page. And the most beautiful photo of Sister Rose, who is in a woman in her 70s, Catholic nun, and she has been working from the onset in Papua New Guinea with people living with HIV. And there's a lovely thing I just want to quote because I love nun jokes. And there's just one here. On the issue of condom use, we're talking here, of course, the Catholic Church's opinion about using contraception and using condoms. And the current popes, I think appalling stance.
They don't like condoms, do they?
No. So it says here in the article, on the issue of condom use, there is a wry joke among nuns working on the front line of the disease in Papua New Guinea that they are getting very old and hard of hearing, and Rome is a long way away.
That's fantastic.
And Sister Rose tends to live by that rule as she hands out condoms. Because, see what I think, the problem is a lot of, especially in other countries, the women are married to the person who they got the virus from. And so there is expectation that they will continue to have a sexual relationship with their husband. Sometimes it's forced upon them. So why shouldn't that woman protect herself if her husband is HIV positive? And this is where the Sister Roses of this world are, I think, heavenly people. And I actually think they're probably doing what their God would do if their God was here at the time, not some bloke in Rome.
Agreed.
No condoms for you.
No. And, we got a lovely letter from Sister Rose from the last year's Hats Off. And it just says it's the simplicity of what that money can do that makes your heart, and you just go, well, that's what I'm here for. Through your kindness and generosity, our workshops have made it possible for the participants to be able to support themselves financially, at least a little, to meet their most basic needs. In addition to what you have seen here, we had photos of some of this, where the money went. You have enabled two women to have necessary cancer surgery, several people to get medication, two families to send their children to school. That broke my heart. Two of our mothers to have access to milk after breastfeeding. And that's just, so this year from Hats Off, the money is going to a group in Fiji who are, it's called the Pacific Counselling and Support Services, and they do actually provide HIV testing. Now, the problem is that the testing is done in a hospital corridor.
So women are being tested?
Men and women are being tested in a hospital corridor. So consequently, a lot of people in Fiji will not get tested because there is no anonymity and their privacy is not. And, can you imagine the stigma of standing in a passageway of a public hospital with everyone knowing that you're being tested?
I just can't imagine HIV.
I can't imagine anyone doing it.
So the money this year is going to go there to build proper counselling and waiting rooms for privacy.
Great.
So
work.
It's just the really practical stuff like that.
And the simple things that
are
everyday to us, but other countries don't have
that.
That's
right. And with our dollar, what our dollar can buy over there is tremendous. Just things like building materials. And So Oz Showbiz Cares is still raising money and giving it to local organisations, but over the last couple of years, the Hats Off money has gone. And I know that the organising committee are possibly looking into East Timor next year, because that's amazing. The next scary, the scary one too, because again, Catholicism raises its ugly head there, in the sense that condoms are frowned upon. And in fact, a past Archbishop of East Timor a few years ago had a condom burning ritual.
Oh, how lovely.
In the main street of Dili.
As you do.
And anecdotally, even many years ago, because I did a play about East Timor actually, and anecdotally, around about 2002, when the play was on, I found out from some East Timorese people that anecdotally, every prostitute, male and female, in East Timor is HIV positive.
That's amazing.
And no one's using condoms. So I think, and you know, after all that we have done to East Timor, I think maybe, but it's somehow you've got to have the Sister Roses of this world who can with her own conscience is quite clear about where she sits in her church and what she does for other people.
It's amazing the work that you're doing, but not only you, but an amazing group of people, including positive women. There must be some incredible highlights, like some of the ones you've just said.
Oh, yeah.
Have you got any, I guess, a top moment that you think, that, oh, this is a top time? It's hard to put it into...
Yeah, I actually, I go back to the stories I was telling you about before, where we use the women's own stories as a means of getting the message out there. And... the first time that I mentioned someone called Joy, but that wasn't her real name. Her real name is Sandy, and she's quite happy. We now call it Sandy's story. But I think the first time that I got a real sense of how powerful the stories are, it was at a women's health, state government health conference of some sort. And they asked us, maybe that was the first time. No, the first time was at a CWA meeting up the country near where I live. And the Country Women's Association, or Chicks with Attitude, as they like to be known as.
Love it.
And we also have a great relationship. Positive Women and the CWA have a great relationship. Because when I'm asked to talk anywhere, like some people just want showbiz gossip, but I say to them, right, you'll get 10 minutes of that and you'll get 10 minutes of Positive Women, and you'll get 10 minutes about East Timor and refugees and that, and they all go, yeah. So I consequently introduce people to Positive Women and through the CWA. And I rang Sandy one day and I said, would you ever make a personal appearance with me? Like, I do the story and then introduce you. And I think the first time that happened was at a CWA meeting. And I told Sandy's story, and then at the end of it, which is a very moving story in itself, and at the end I was able to say, and ladies and gentlemen, the lady herself is here. And Sandy came up and stood beside me. And even talking about it, the hairs are up on the back of my neck, yeah. It was one of the, it was terribly moving, but it was so powerful. That message that went out. Here was this woman who looked just like them, who got the virus from a long-term partner, who had two teenage children, lived in the country, and I'd just told her story, which painted her as a very ordinary, everyday woman, just like the room was full of everyday women. And then when Sandy actually got up, and that's happened a few times now, so, yeah.
Well, I think that this is the perfect platform to hear Joy's.
Well, I haven't got Joy's story with me. I've actually got Pat's story.
Oh, well, I'll just cross out Joy then. Because I just think that is an amazing opportunity to hear a story. We're talking to Anne Phelan, who is the patron of Positive Women. My name is Sue, and co-hosting with me today, Gabby. And we're actually quite teary, so we are going to make our way through the next few minutes, Anne, but you're going to have to drive us.
Okay. How long have I got?
We've got about 5 or so minutes.
I'm hoping we'll squeeze it in. I'll talk fast.
I can imagine.
Okay. And this is Pat's story. You know, it's amazing. You're in a room, chockers with noise, a party. There's music blaring, the whole crowd singing, yakking and laughing. You can't hear yourself speak, never mind anyone else, and yet way across the room someone will say your name and you hear it crystal clear. Patricia. But you can call me Pat. Friends do, family does. Well, some members of my family. And, of course, Tom does, naturally. Tom's the fella I live with. He's the one I became positive from. I can hear him say my name when he's right down the back of the yard. Oh, I love the way he says it. Pat! Oh, it's so romantic. People ask me why I stick with them. But ladies, what choice do you have when a good man loves you and you love him? Myself, I've been married twice. The first time, for more than 30 years, was to the father of my children. All I'm prepared to say about that is that my second husband was a much nicer man than my first. Pardon me. The second one was one of Australia's true national treasures. He wined and dined me, even held car doors open for me after we were married. But he died of a burst duodenal ulcer. I spent the next 3 years desperately lonely, caring for an ageing relative, and then a friend of mine introduced me to Tom. Tom loves all the things I do, playing cards, travelling, dancing, music. We teamed up very happily. But before long, I realised Tom was a very ill man, and I kept saying so to his doctor, until his doctor told me that I was making him very angry. Cop that. I was making him angry. So I took Tom to see my own doctor, who hospitalised him immediately. 3 weeks later, he was diagnosed HIV positive. So I too was tested. Oh God. How do you tell your children, grown-up adults, parents themselves, that their mother, career woman, sports person, committee member of local clubs, how do you tell them that their mother has been tested for the full catastrophe and that she's positive for HIV? How do you express what you feel when you witness your children, grown-up adults, with tears streaming down their faces, and when later on you hear your grandchildren sobbing? I won't pretend things aren't difficult. I can't desert Tom. I can't leave him. He has no one to care for him. And I love him. So my family does find it very difficult to understand, and it is difficult for them and others to understand. Some places you go to, if you ask for a cup of tea, you know that once you leave, they'll break the cup. Or if you get visitors occasionally, and once they find out you're positive, they sort of look around the room wondering what they've touched. And there's other places too where you hear all the pie brain things, you know, like, oh, you can get it from toilet seats, and you can get it from mozzie bites, and you can get it from kissing someone. Oh. Actually, I regularly talk to medical students now about HIV and AIDS, and one of the researchers there at the teaching hospital tells me it is actually possible, faintly possible, to contact the virus through a bit of the old lip-to-lip refreshment. Though it is contingent upon you exchanging in one kiss, wait for this, ladies, in one kiss, 47 litres of spittle. 47 litres. And there's all the other nonsense you hear, like, you know, it only happens to gays and druggies and prostitutes, when around the world, the majority of positive people are women and kids. Or the belief that the virus always comes from somewhere else, from another country, from strangers. Oh, that's malarkey. For women, it often comes from a long-term partner. That's a bitter truth. And then there's the most bitter double malarkey, the idea that it can never happen to you or to anyone you love. For God's dear sake, don't believe it. It happened to Tom, and it happened to me. It can happen to anyone if you don't take precautions. Condoms, for a start. And then there's more minor things, but they're worth thinking about. Like, last week I spent the afternoon talking to the medical students, and at some point I remarked, if you're going to have oral sex, never clean your teeth beforehand. And one of the lasses, Chris says, why is that? Why shouldn't I clean my teeth if I'm going to have oral sex? Because, I said, you might make your gums bleed, and that would increase the chance of a sexually transmitted infection. Ah, said Chris, and nods and toddles off. I saw her again last week, and I said, Chris, how often do you think of me? And she said, every time I clean my teeth.
I went through a journey of smiling, crying,
yes,
laughing, celebrating.
Yeah.
What an amazing – I come actually speechless, which Adam would be going, oh, my God, it is.
No, there is – there is – it is that – it is the power of the true story. The verbatim true story is fabulous.
And that's –
and the sense of humour. I mean,
yes,
we found when we put the play together – or when Graham Pitts put the play together, but we found that each woman and the men who were involved as well, the humour that came out, we had the kids laughing. Mm. And, of course, there is nothing better. I'm a great one for humour and music to get things going, and humour's great.
Well, Annie, I think it's a perfect time to ask, where can women go for testing?
Can we go off to our local doctor? And that's what we have to do, isn't it? We have to ask questions.
Yeah.
Don't just stand back. Don't just wait.
Yep. And I think last year or the year before there was a big push for getting tested. And I think the problem is there are still a lot of people in the medical profession who actually have no idea.
Yeah.
They've never come across it in their your local GP or whatever. I speak to people and they've never, ever seen anyone who is HIV positive.
Well, I guess that's a good thing.
That's great. But it also, it's very difficult in country towns. I live in the country.
Yes.
I understand. I know you walk into the doctor, you know everyone sitting in that waiting room. I think it's probably especially hard for gay men.
Yeah.
Especially in country towns. But can I suggest if anyone has any queries, do not hesitate to hop on to the Positive Women Victoria website, give them a ring, send them an email, and just say, oh, by the way, I won $1,000 last night at the races. Here's $50. But also, where do I go to get tested?
Yeah.
And info like that, get it from POS Women.
Mm. And support women who have HIV. Don't be breaking their cups.
Yeah.
You know, say hello, shake a hand, give a smile, get to know these women, as we heard in that beautiful story, which I'm still crying about. They are women. First and foremost, they are women.
They're mothers,
they are,
daughters, yeah, sisters, aunties. They're just...
They're not freaks. Not they're not, you know... They're just us.
They are
I found it very interesting. One of the friends of mine, of Positive Women, who died a few years ago, and I walked in to see her. She was very ill in hospital. And I just walked straight in and gave her a cuddle. And she just looked at me and she said, you know, you're the first person of about the last 10 people. She said, most come and stand at the end of the bed.
Oh, it's so sad. We have a long way to go.
We do.
But thankfully there are people like you. You may not be our nun, but you certainly are our Anne Phelan. And
thank you.
I am in awe of what you are doing for the women within the world, not only within Victoria, and working with Positive Women.
Oh, they inspire me. It's not a chore, I'm here to tell you.
I can't
imagine.
They're
inspirational.
They are. Mm.
And talking with them over the phone over these pre-weeks, I've never met anybody more helpful or, you know, more approachable. So, and for me coming as a background, they were just sensational. So I really want to thank you for your
time.
Thank
you for having me on behalf of POS Women.
And thank you for sharing that amazing story, which I now need to go and have a very long, strong coffee. You've been listening to Allegro Non Troppo on your community radio station. Adam and Peter will be returning with you next week. Thank you, Gabby.
Thank you for having me.